Poetry on the Radio, poetry in and around the ACT. Today, we speak with two of the editors of a fascinating anthology of poetry about childbirth, plus the Rhyming Bugle, poetry news from the region. For ArtSound FM Community Radio, I'm Kimberly K. Williams. Few poetry anthologies provide the kind of shock that What We Carry did when it appeared from Canberra-based Recent Work Press in 2021. Just as its subtitle says, it was an anthology of some 200 pages of writing about the most mundane but extraordinary of human experiences. It was poetry on childbearing. Recently, two of its three editors spoke to Poetry on the Radio about the project. In the ArtSound studios was Canberra-based poet Ella Kurz, who, in her PhD work in midwifery, developed the concept of parturescence, transformation through pregnancy and childbirth. Online from rural Victoria was Claire Del Hunty, a poet and fiction writer, editor, and journalist. The third editor of What We Carry is Simone King, a Canberra poet, editor, and legal and policy advisor. The anthology presents deeply personal experiences of childbirth from some 60 contributors from around Australia. For the first of our two episodes about What We Carry, with readings by several of the contributors, we began by asking Ella Kurz and Claire Del Hunty how they came to create the anthology. Ella Kurz responded first.
Well, the idea did start with me. Obviously, it's co-edited, so three of us worked on it together. I was looking to find the language or ways to talk about positive birth experiences because I, as a student midwife and then a midwife practicing in hospitals, I had seen that some people emerge from their birth experience really larger than life and just ready to take on the world, and then some people, I guess, have an opposite experience of that, where they seem really diminished and fragile and vulnerable coming out of it. But there's a lot of people in the middle as well. And I was really interested in that positive side and thinking, you know, what is that? How can we talk about it? How can we get it? And I felt the language was really limited, sort of around empowerment, which can mean so many different things and doesn't necessarily mean that you've come out of birth with a really positive transformation. So I was in the depths of my PhD and struggling to think about how to talk about this, and stumbled upon some American women's writing about childbirth, and there were some mostly essays, and there were some poems interspersed in the essays. And I admit I hadn't been a poetry reader prior to that point, but reading those poems I was crying because I felt that they were able to touch on an experience that is so difficult to pin down into words. Whenever you want to say, describe it with one term, it slips out and is something else that you can't describe, but poetry, I think, was big enough to encompass that. So I thought, oh, this is great, poetry. There's something about poetry and birth. Around that time, I had met Claire and Simone, who are budding writers and mothers, and had been talking to them about that, and I thought, let's have more poetry about birth. And it was Claire's idea to actually broaden that and not only have poetry about birth but the whole childbearing continuum, so thinking about pregnancy and the postnatal period and some of the more socio-political stuff as well.
Yes, I think it was just a lovely confluence of timing for the three of us, with Ella's initial spark and her area of expertise and work. And I feel like you approached me, Ella, not that long after I'd had my first child, and I was unpacking a lot. It can be quite a momentous thing to have had a child, and I think we started to talk about our own experiences and then appreciate the multitude of ways it could impact you, whether through birthing or through raising up the next generation of young people, carrying something in your body, losing children, wanting to be a parent but perhaps struggling. It's such a rich theme of content to explore. And we also began to talk about contributing our own small amount of poetry to the anthology, because we were all writing at some level or another. I would say myself being the most amateur, Simone probably being the most experienced, and Ellie, your active practice is beautiful too. But it was a great way for us all to dive in and start to create as well. And then we started to build up the idea that we'd also need some mentorship and some collaboration on the project. And being all located in Canberra, we had the best of the best to call on to help us with that. I should say that I was also working at the time with ACT Writers, who are now known as Marion, a fantastic organisation, really connected so well in all the genres and all the forms of writing in the Canberra region, and was very aware of the work of Melinda Smith. And we were all admirers and readers and appreciators of her. So we decided she would be the perfect mentor. And we approached her with our idea and asked whether she would be happy to sort of help us connect with the other poets in the Australian poetry community that we hope to reach out to, none of us having particularly wide established networks ourselves. And she kindly did that, and then it kind of expanded into mentoring us with our own little bits of writing. We each have a couple of poems in the anthology. We also include some of Melinda's own works. So it started to be a lovely treasure hunt of finding voices. Many poets had already written on this subject matter, and we just started to shape this, what we think is quite a beautiful collection that spans a really broad spectrum of experiences.
Melinda Smith's mentoring helped bring the contributing poets together, Elle Kerr said.
We were mentored by Melinda, and she connected us to a wider range of poets. And something that I noticed was what a wonderful community that was. All the poets that we engaged with really wanted it to work and got excited about it and would email us about it and share it with their networks. So it felt like it was carried along really nicely.
Before we go any further, let's hear one of each editor's own contributions to the anthology. Here's Ella Kerr's reading The One, first her own gloss on it.
In the poem, I was trying to capture the very unique feeling of being in labour, and I'm writing about the labour of my second child. I wanted to describe how, although labour is very painful and hard, and pushes you out into the unknown, it can also result in something, it resulted in something really special. It was very exhilarating, and I really felt awestruck at, I guess, who I was and what I could do, and of course, the little baby that I got to meet that day. The One. The women know to come right away, but by the time they arrive, I am already crawling round the living room rug, labour's fire front roaring through me. When the serrations of thunderstone catch a tight-knit muscle of womb, when I am crushed against the edges of self, it is the women kneeling in my orbit who sing me through. They tend me in my nest of towel and waterproof drape beneath the sunflower in its vase until my probing fingertips find their answer in the hard curve of skull. And bone, grinding bone, I become the one who snarls and bleeds, screams her exit from that shadow land, pushes a silky baby into its father's hands, gathers it back against her chest, and holding fast, falls over the horizon into radiance.
Now, Claire Del Hunty and her symphonic corps sings of the challenges and satisfactions of breastfeeding.
Her symphonic corps. There is a photo of my mother sitting, smiling, in a Wandon Valley-esque hospital, my sister just born. One of her breasts swells bronze-like from her shirt. One cheek bulges with the food she is eating to feed the flood. I carried this somewhere in my back pages as I tiptoed towards my own daughter, who was born small as a bird, a bantam. She stepped lightly off the mother script, neither descending straightforwardly in a country ward, nor arriving solid as a straining post. But the milk, like music, was pooled in me. There, somehow I knew how I would build her note by note. I did not know how it would first feel like failing. Lactose-sodden sheets, but that tiny mouth gumming me to tears in the shower. Still receiving, losing not a gram, gaining on me. While I turned an incredulous face to mother friends. It is agony. It is too much. It is enough. And so I smiled too, cheeks full of food, as her body plumped, her mouth opening wider, lips parted just right. So much for her that I could hand milk salve for cradle-capped eyebrows, clouds for her bath water. We both were held safe by my mother picture, as by an old refrain, reassured that the bitter and the sweet song of life is given and sustained, all from her symphonic core.
And here's Simone King with Goddess Birth. She relates how sharply childbearing diverges from any idealized notions about it, but with rewards.
Goddess Birth. I wanted to visit the old woman in the woods for the special purpose spoken of in Birth Meditation Track 7. But I didn't walk the tree-lined path with sunlight and cinnamon leaves crunching underfoot. Didn't smell clary sage hanging from her roof. Didn't clasp her hands in mine or feel her whiskers comb my cheek. Squatting naked on tiles, dingo howls off white walls, pushing, pleading with bones, open. Mind on fire, fear piercing keener than pain. I can't get her out, my body too narrow. She might die. I wanted the old woman to hold me, to fold wisdom into womb. I wanted to be the goddess on the birthing video, curve-lipped and coming into her own as she pulsed her babe into bathwater. Her heartbeat, boom, 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 a drum bringing in the sun. I plead through salt to be cut. Way too late, you need to keep going. So I heave, every inch of me, all the sugar in my cells. There is no old woman, no goddess, just my body. Flesh through flesh, little soul through the gate. Her face meets cool blonde summer morning, this other world of air and light. Hello, Maya, a whisper from below. She is safe, alive, not crying, but beating, breathing, and blue. She is lifted, is on me, skin to skin, heart to heart, swollen peach nipple to lips, and she eats whatever is left of me, love and milk. And I give them willingly.
What We Carry launched right in the middle of the COVID pandemic, but managed to dodge the worst effects of it, Claire Del Hunty told us.
It felt like a very quiet and personal project that we knew was going to result in what we knew would always be quite a niche product, and poetry, I wish it was more widely read, celebrated and retailed, and that the book sales reflected what a great and beautiful art form it is. But I know I don't think COVID sort of loomed large while we worked on it, and with launching it, we did the best we could. We struck a lucky patch, I think, in May of, must have been 2021. And all it did was push us to have an online stream, which was fantastic. It just meant that about 80 more people could join us. And we had some fantastic people in the room, and lots of our contributing poets were able to travel to be with us. So I think we hit a lucky window. And then the book's taken its own sort of gentle journey since being published. And we should mention how well supported we've been by Shane Strange at Recent Work Press, who was also so receptive to the idea when he said, this is what we'd like to do. He said, yep, there's a spot for it. You go for it and get the support you need. And the final product was something that he was very instrumental in making us feel comfortable and supported in.
One of the things that strikes me about this book is that it's 200 pages. That's quite a thick book for poetry, even for an anthology in paperback. And in part, I think that just says how much poetry is out there on this topic. It's one of the most predominant experiences that women have and that partners have, and I don't mean to exclude men, that humans have, and yet so little has been done with it formally, such as a collection of poems. I think it's really exciting.
We were a little bit nervous about how long it was and what Shane and Recent Work Press would think about that, but he was so supportive at each step and he just embraced that. I think he could have even seen it be longer. He was just so supportive of an experience which we were unsure what his interest would be, given that he's a man. Not to say that he shouldn't be part of the childbearing discussion, but he was very generous and interested right from the get-go.
You can imagine why he thought there was a gap in the market for this kind of book. As you were researching this, did you find many books at all about childbirth?
I didn't, and that was what really led to this poetry book, because not only was I searching for the language to talk about these experiences in, just in our day-to-day sort of discussions and what words and terms really pin down these experiences, but in the academic literature, I was finding it really challenging. There's a lot of medical language to talk about it, which is often written about it, observing someone else going through the experience and has its own biases and preconceptions. But no, the answer was no. I felt like, where is this writing? Which comes back to it being, I guess, women's work and not always being valued in our different art forms.
I think that the introduction addresses that really well. And the introduction was written by all three of the editors. The quote, Katrine Markall, where she really distinguishes that giving birth is not considered to be a human experience, but rather a female experience. And then once it's sort of relegated to a female experience, right, it can be moved aside in favor of, well, she says, quote, we read Shakespeare or one of the great philosophers who write about how people spring from the earth like mushrooms and immediately start drafting social contracts with each other. That kind of made me laugh when I read that. The truth in it is a bit funny. It's a bit absurd. But I think it articulates really well why there is a niche for this topic. I myself, as a mother, found the whole experience terrifying and bewildering. And for me, poetry is my way of making sense of the world. And so my instinct would be to see how I could understand what I went through language, and not just my own, but other people's, reading about it. So I loved what you said at the beginning, how poetry seemed to suddenly be the container big enough to hold all this. And that makes sense to me.
I agree so much, Kimberly, and it resonates with the space we were in as we looked to create the anthology. So many of us, women and men, will turn to words and poetry to understand momentous things that have happened to us as individuals. And then you look up and you realise that women are about half the population on the planet. And this process of bringing children into the world, which is so everyday and mundane, but remarkable. It's life. It's life-giving. It's the next generation. It's the future. I think we were all gobsmacked at the grit and the brilliance of the woman's body, the woman's spirit, whether the experience of bringing children into the world has been joyful and triumphant or tinged with trauma. My own experience first time around, I described myself as absolutely shell-shocked, and that was part of why I wanted to write about it, which is what I've always turned to do when something's happened in my life. And the other woman poet that we reference in the introduction is Sharon Olds, and we reference a poem written now long ago in the 70s, The Language of the Brag, where she's writing about what she's done in giving birth. And she says, "I have done what you wanted to do, Walt Whitman, Allen Ginsberg. I have done this thing, this momentous thing." And I think it has been fantastic to carve a space out to be celebrating this ourselves. And it's worth noting that while we're a very probably small, humble drop in a tide that started to shift, in Australia and in the West at the moment, there's a big change and shift in the way we look at women's experiences of childbirth in our medical system. Not long after our anthology came out, there was an Australian documentary called Birth Time created that was very popular and very well received in the birth community. And it looked at the obstetric field, the patriarchal influence over how we process and think of childbirth, how women are treated in some aspects of caregiving, why we go to a hospital where illness is the main reason for going when we're actually doing something our bodies are often designed to do. Ella's worked in this space and seen the good and the difficult in it. And I think if you do, like we both do, follow the conversation and the social media around this shift in discourse around birth, it was quite excellent timing for us to be writing about this, because we're revisiting, returning our sense of agency and trust in ourselves as people giving birth, I suppose, taking back some of that ownership.
One of the things that's most striking about this collection is there's no disengagement from the subject.
Simone, who's not with us today, Claire mentioned that she had the most poetry experience out of the three of us. And I can't speak for Claire, but at some points I thought, oh, should I really be editing an anthology of poetry when I haven't read a lot of poetry yet, and I might not have some of the technical experience in judging poetry, as people have been doing this for a long time. And she was guiding us a little bit, and she did touch on that when you're looking at poetry, often you do want that directness or intimacy at some point in the poem. But that we didn't really have to worry about that. That didn't apply to us in our situation, because nearly all the poems that we read were so direct and engaged in the subject matter. So I think that, yeah, that's a good observation.
It's true. You can't leave off being a mom or thinking about being a mom or being a parent, or you never get to be done. You know, even if you lose a child, you still have that child in your life in some way.
I guess poetry is as good as it is engaged in the material of it and as it expresses it.
Maybe to turn tables and ask you a question, Peter. Were those experiences new to you, or not having given birth yourself, I am assuming? It was still interesting enough and...
Well, absolutely.
I don't know if I can say enjoyable to read that. There's a lot of intensity across the different poems. But yes, it was something that you wanted to read or...
Well, it's funny because Kimberly and I divided the book up last week. She would read the first half and I would read the second half to start with. And of course, that made me come in right in the middle of the poems about... and about some things that gone terribly wrong. So... it was certainly engaging, embracing, upsetting to read that. And there's something about the poetic expression of it that provides it with a different dimension that's very new. It's kind of shocking in a very positive way.
I think that poetry has that ability to concentrate, and that's how it gives impact. And then it's working on several levels where you might have imagery and sound and metaphor all working together, that provides a multi-something experience. I don't know what. But, it's that compression that allows it to pack a punch, maybe.
Yeah, also I found very moving that it was all testimony by individuals about something that was very particular to them and unmistakably particular. Anybody might be enraptured by the sky or a tree, but this is them, this is their body.
Next week, we'll hear more about What We Carry, poetry on childbearing, and we'll hear readings of several poems in the recent WorkPress anthology. I'm Kimberly K. Williams.
The Rhyming Bugle. At Smith's Alternative on October 23, That Poetry Thing presents Jeff Cottrell and Paul Cohn. Jeff Cottrell is a novelist and performance poet based in Toronto, Canada. His poem, This Is Not Real Poetry, was nominated for a Pushcart Prize. Paul R. Cohn is a South Australia-based poet and performer of spoken word whose collection, Soul Refraction, is available through Dragonfly Publishing. The Manning Clark House reading this month, this coming Thursday, October 26 at 7 p.m, presents three writers. K.A. Nelson is a Canberra poet who began writing full-time in 2010 after winning the Overland Literary Journal's Judith Wright Poetry Prize for New and Emerging Poets. In 2018, Recent Work Press published her first collection, Inlandia. Jeff Page has been a leading voice in Canberra-area poetry, indeed in Australian poetry, for many years. His most recent book, 101 Poems, 2011-2021, from Pitt Street Press, is a selection from his last decade of publication. Keith Harrison is the author of 12 books of poetry and translation published widely in Australia, Great Britain, and the US. His highly regarded version of the 14th century narrative poem Sir Gawain and the Green Knight is published in the Oxford World's Classics series, and a radio drama version is currently in production for broadcast on ArtSound FM. Keith's My Father's Apples, a new collection of poems, as well as a selected essays called Once Upon a River, are in preparation. That's at the Manning Clark House, 11 Tasmania Circle in Forest, on Thursday, October 26 at 7 p.m. The Canberra-based early music consort, Apeiron Baroque, is holding an evening of music and poetry at Wesley Music Centre in Forest on Sunday, November 12 at 5 p.m. In this, the first in a series of concerts mixing early music with presentations from non-musical disciplines, Apeiron's John Maher, violin and viola d'amore, and Marie Searle's harpsichord and forte piano will be joined by the hosts of Art Sounds Poetry on the Radio, Kimberly K. Williams and Peter Searles, as well as local poets Penelope Leyland and Jackie Malins, to present poems from the newly published Book of Birds anthology from Recent Work Press, alongside music from the Baroque and Classical eras. For more information, go online to Apeiron Baroque, A-P-E-I-R-O-N. Applications are open for the Helen Ann Bell Poetry Bequest Award for Female Poets. The University of Sydney presents the biennial award, now in its fifth round, and the richest poetry cash prize in Australia, the Bell Poetry Bequest Award, offers $40,000 to the author of a collection of poems reflecting Australian culture. Vagabond Press publishes the winning collection. Entries could be collections of between 50 and 80 pages. Entries close on Monday, December 18, 2023. Search online for University of Sydney Helen Ann Bell Poetry Bequest Award 2023. Poetry on the Radio is produced weekly on unceded traditional land in the studios of ArtSound FM and airs Sundays at 4:30 p.m. and again at 10:30 p.m. on Mondays and online at artsound.fm. Series hosts are Kimberly K. Williams and Peter Searles, who produce the program with me, Peter Monaghan. Find out more on the Poetry on the Radio page under the Programs tab at artsound.fm. Our theme is an imagining of an ancient Greek hymn to the Muse Calliope by Gregoria Paniagua and the Atrium Musica de Madrid.
Je suis le petit chevalier avec le ciel dessus mes yeux. Je ne peux pas me effrayer. Je suis le petit chevalier avec la terre dessous mes pieds. J'irai te visiter.